That's not the well at Sychar, but that's probably what it looked like during the time of Christ. The well of Sychar now has been polluted by religion. They've built this giant building around it that they think is the well of Sychar. And if you will, while I'm telling you this, you can turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. And it looks nothing like it looked like that day that Christ sat on the well and talked to this dear Samaritan woman. It probably looked more like that than what it does now with this building, with the pillars and all of that. And of course, people go there and worship. I don't know what. Do they worship the well? Probably some of them do. Worship the spot. Jesus isn't there. Thankfully, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. I'm thankful for where he is, and I'm thankful for what he's doing, and I'm thankful for the office of the Holy Spirit that in this dispensation is doing the work. As we look at John chapter 4, last week we had to take a break because it was Father's Day. We talked about some fathers in the Bible. Talked about Aaron, Eli, Samuel, and David. Good men. But at the end of the day, they were men. And they had their good points, and they also had their failures. I think if we look at our lives, we can see that in our own lives. Here in, as we come back to John chapter 4, and as we're still at the well, and sometimes people spend a long time at the well before they get saved. Sometimes it's shorter. Everybody's different. Everybody responds differently to the gospel. Everyone's heart is at different stages. Yet, at the end of this trip to the well, this woman is a new creature. And I'm thankful for that. But we're not quite there yet. Look at the Bible in this passage. Let's look at the verses. Let's just read over the passage one more time, starting in verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. I want you to notice something here. Many times Jesus did things purposefully with his disciples in the mix. And many times that was to teach them a particular lesson, and he's going to teach them a particular lesson here because they're coming back out of the city. It's probably right about the point now where we are in the passage. They are starting to come out of the city and head back out to the well during this conversation that he's having with her. But at this point in time, they're not there. And you know what? I'm glad they weren't there. I'm truly glad they weren't there because I personally believe that had the woman walked toward that well and seen a number of men instead of one, what would she have done? She'd have done a 180. Went back into town, probably. Her reasoning for going to the well at 12 noon when no one is at the well drawing water, just like that, it's empty, there's nobody there. Well, we'll get to that reason. We'll get to that reason. Had she seen a crowd there, I don't believe she would have come. But there was only one man sitting there. How much of a threat could he be? Just one man. But as she drew closer, the problem with the one man, both by his clothing and by his dialect, indicated to her that he was a Jew. Ha! The enemy. Now things change again. There is a threat. It's a Jew. And you know what Jesus does? He dispels that threat. She makes a, I don't know if I'd call it a racist comment. There, how is it that thou, verse 9, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Your people hate my people. And she was right in that state. The Pharisees wouldn't even travel through Samaria. They would take no favor from a Samaritan, and they certainly weren't going to return it should they need to get a favor anyway. But they wouldn't ask for the favor to begin with, because they believed that to ask a favor of a Samaritan was paramount to immorality as far as God is concerned. And that's taught by the historians of that time. So for Jesus to even speak to her was totally out of culture and out of character. I think sometimes the lost world thinks it odd when we even speak to them, because really it's out of character and out of culture. Sometimes it'll get the attention of someone. Why would you talk to me? I remember a young man that I picked up hitchhiking one day that my flesh said, "Don't you dare stop for this one." I used to do it all the time in Canada. Don't you all do this now. But I used to do it all the time up there. Native guys walking in and out of town, they were usually walking home or walking back into town because they couldn't get a ride back to the reserves. And it was usually because they had just gotten out of jail. And I knew most of them. So I would normally pick them up, because sooner or later in the conversation it would be, "Hey, aren't you that chaplain in the jail?" That would come up. Yeah, and you know, I would try and help the guy. I remember one of the young men that I picked up one time, he had hair all the way down to here. He had piercings and tattoos and black combat boots and a military jacket, and my flesh said, "Not this one." And the Holy Spirit said, "Get him." And I, boom, pulled into the shoulder, and he ran up to the car. And I think he was actually surprised that somebody would pick him up. He actually acted that way when he got in the truck. And I told him who I was. And, you know, he was one of the politest young men I think I've ever talked to out in the world. It's amazing what we perceive with our eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. The world puts out a perception because they want a perception put out. But at the same time, that's not always what you see. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust God when it comes to dealing with people. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, of a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." There was two things the woman had to do. She had to know something, and she had to ask for it. People must understand what salvation is, and they must ask for it. I cannot make them understand, and I cannot cram it down their throat as much as I would like to. I cannot make or manufacture a Christian. I cannot manufacture a Christian. Parent, you cannot manufacture Christian children. Amen. You can manufacture good kids, but you cannot manufacture Christian kids. You try and manufacture one, you will get a copy that knows all the language, has the look, the smell, the talk of a Christian, but the heart is far from me. Amen. And sooner or later, that will manifest itself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes way later. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? What makes you so special, Jew? And we saw that she had no idea who she was talking to, did she? The creator of the universe was sitting there. The creator of the universe was sitting there, sweaty, hot, and tired. Isn't the grace of God good? Amen. Isn't the mercy of God good? Because I remember the day I met Jesus Christ on that altar, I was there too. Sweaty, hot, and tired from a life of sin. Yeah. I'll never forget that day. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus saith unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And we hit that hard a couple Sundays ago. That thirst again. That desire of the flesh to be satisfied, and it never will. It never will. And we'll see that in her life. I read an article this morning that kind of broke my heart about a young man. I just flipped across it, and he was what's called a solo free climber. A solo free climber is a mountain climber. There's only two problems with that. And that's in the first two words. One, solo. No help. I got this. Two, free climber. You know what that means? No rope. No rope. No help, no rope. All right? No knocking in and hooking on. 5.1 to 5.6. With a half inch of each finger and a half inch of the toes. That's it. Why would somebody do that? I'll tell you why. Because 3/4 of the way to the top, the rush has to be phenomenal. Because you are cheating. That's why I watched a video about a young woman who was the fastest woman alive. But she's not with us anymore. Why? She was the fastest woman alive, but she had to go. She had to go faster. And on the 500 mile an hour run, that rocket car disintegrated in the desert out there. I watched the video. And she was gone. Just like that. And one day, this young free climber was climbing. He's climbed some phenomenal places. He was famous for it. But you know what? His mother made a prophetic statement one day to him. She said, Son, you know if you do this long enough, what's going to happen? And he said, I know, Mom. He suffered with bouts of depression. Drinking. Drinking. What good's that going to do you? Alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant. It is a depressant. People crawl into that bottle. I don't understand why. But then again, I think of my own life, because I'll be honest with you. As a police officer, I was a solo free climber. You know what I'm talking about, Matt. I did things I shouldn't have done. I went into places that I shouldn't have gone by myself. Because we kind of took pride in that in our crew. We don't need the SWAT team. We got a barricaded subject. Me, Billy, and Larry, and Joe are going in. And we did it routinely. Kick the door, we're going in. Why? Because in that moment of time, your body will inject certain drugs into your system, and you'll be as high as a kite. Which is exactly what this free climber experienced. The problem with it is this, is that does it last? No. I used to race motorcycles. It only lasts for about 9 or 10 seconds. And then you do it again. Oh, then you do it again. And then you push the bike up onto the truck and go home. And what are you going to do after that? What are you going to do after that? Well, then I'm going to load up into the police car, go to work, and chase somebody at 120 mile an hour through the county and get it again. But the problem is, I come home from work, you can't sleep for 4 or 5 hours after that because the adrenaline is so high in your system. And then when you finally crash, it's like, when I wake up, I will what? Seek it yet again. Because the flesh cannot, nor will it be, young people, ever satisfied on this earth. Ever satisfied. I can say like Solomon, I did a lot of wild stuff when I was young to get that high. And don't say, well, if Pastor did it, I can do it. Because God may not spare you like he spared me. Because I can think of the times that he did. Several times flying that airplane at 16 years old. One time I almost hit high tension lines. And the next time I forgot to pull the carb heat when I was going into an airport. The engine stopped. I was at about 500 feet and I had 500 feet until I hit the ground. Just before I hit the ground, I pushed in the carb heat because I saw that I hadn't pulled it. Actually, I pulled the carb heat. And I was like, okay, I'm picking these two fence posts and I'm going to cut the wings off with them and just go right through there. And the engine went 20 or 30 feet off the ground. And I hammered it and landed and went, whoo! That was exciting. Why? Because I got another shot. But it doesn't last. And Jesus said that to the woman, whosoever comes to this well will thirst again. And he says that to the young solo free climber. You can climb and climb and climb, and you can get a high every time you climb, but you're never going to get enough. And sooner or later, his mother's prophecy came true. A man was actually watching on the face of the cliff who was climbing with a partner and ropes over on the next side of the cliff, saw him lunge for a small outcrop to hook his fingers into, and guess what that rock did? Because rock rots in the sun and the weather just like everything else. Everything on this earth is temporary. Rock rots. Matter of fact, rock is porous. And when he grabbed that piece of that rock, it went tink. And the guy said, all he said was, yelled was, no. Gone. But he wasn't gone. Oh, physically he was gone, but he wasn't gone.
And for the rest of eternity, he'll lunge for that crop and never get it. He'll lunge for that crop and he'll never get it. He'll remember that piece of rock that he decided was the next step up. He'll never forget it. He'll see it for all of eternity. It'll break off in his hand for all of eternity as he suffers in torment in hell.
That young woman in the desert will do the same thing.
She'll relive that run over and over and over again. You say no. Yes. She will. And she'll say in her mind, if I'd only done this or that, but you know what? It's too late. It's too late.
Jesus saith, drink of this water and you'll thirst again. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life.
People are always trying to get from without and implant it within. But clawing onto the world, clawing onto the things of the world, into the bottle, into the drugs, into the solo free climbing. Oh yeah, the most famous wingsuit jumpers, most of them are dead too. By the way, boy, I used to follow that. I actually wanted to do that. And then the Lord just impressed on me, why do you want to test me?
With a piece of nylon between your legs and between your arms. Because you can't fly like a bird, because we ain't got no feathers. Most of them have smacked a canyon wall somewhere. And in an instant, their rush turns to torment. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life.
When you're saved, you will get it all.
Amen.
You will get it all. If down the road you got to say, Lord, I'm thirsty, there's something wrong.
Amen.
There's something wrong. When I've come to those spots in my Christian life, God will always turn me towards my sin and say, if you're thirsting again, I'm not talking about going back. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being lost. I'm talking about if you're thirsty again, if the devil throws this little thing out there, this little tidbit out there for you and says, come on, just give into the flesh this once. Mm-hmm.
If I'm thirsty again, there's something wrong. And if I'm thirsty again, it's because I haven't been at the right well. Or I've deviated from the right well and I'm leaning back over toward.
Because let me tell you something. You read Acts chapter 7 and tell me that Paul didn't battle with the old nature. You tell me Paul didn't battle with the old nature. You say, I don't battle with the old nature anymore. I think there's something wrong with you too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because we do. We do. And you know the one that we allow into our life that we seem to cover up? And that'll actually feed that fleshly lust better than anything else. That we can actually keep to ourselves and nobody really knows it because it's not an outward thing that I'm doing. I ain't hanging out in the bars or racing motorcycles anymore or anything like that. You know what it is? It's pride. And we're rank with it, all of us. all of us.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because of the state of Christendom in America. Because we've gone back to Jacob's well. We've gone back to Jacob's well. And you know why we've gone back to Jacob's well? Because we're in Laodicea. That's why we've gone back to Jacob's well. Because we're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's why the Christianity in some other countries is stronger than ours. Because they're not rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now, they still struggle with the flesh. But their struggle's different from ours. But the water that I shall give him, look at the second part of that verse, shall be where? In him. In him. We can't get it from outside. If it's not in you, if the Holy Spirit's not in you, if the fountain's not flowing up in you, there's something wrong with you or me. And it's one of two things. Either I've become carnal or I'm not saved. I know I'm saved. So I'm carnal. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. What? Springing up. It's not a cistern like Jacob's well was. I studied that out. That well was 6 feet cylindrical and went over 100 feet down, and it actually collected rainwater. There were probably some aquifers that fed it, but it was what it was. It was a cistern. Most wells are. It's different when it's a spring, isn't it? You ain't got to dig for it. And you don't have to worry about it running dry. Like wells. Like everybody's worried. Like over the last few weeks, if you had a well, were you not worried when we didn't have that rain for 3-4 weeks? Like one day that you would turn on the faucet and it would go, because there ain't nothing in there? You don't have to worry about that with a spring. Because it's coming right to the surface, man, constantly. So it is with the water that Christ said he gives. You know, water seeks its own level. Does it not? It seeks its own level. Let me explain that spiritually speaking. The water that Jesus is talking about is heavenly. And it will eventually lead us where? To the source, which is heavenly. It will eventually take us back to the source if we avail ourselves of it. It ensures us everlasting life in heaven. Verse 15. Oh, that clock. The woman saith unto him, Sir, she doesn't call him, she doesn't say, Jew. She says, Sir. Now, not only did the Jews not ask favors of the Samaritans or accept a return favor, but guess what? It was reciprocal. That means the Samaritans weren't asking a Jew for a favor, and they weren't going to return a favor. All right? So Jesus asks for a favor. Give me to drink. To a woman who says, you hate us and we hate you.
Now, if somebody says that to me, I'm going somewhere else to get my drink.
Yes, sir.
But you know what Christ was? Patient with her. Why is it that we've got to wring a profession out of somebody in 5 minutes? Why can't we be patient? Do you put a seed in the ground and in 5 minutes there's a corn stalk that's 6 feet tall with corn on it? No. No. That's what the whole thing of sowing and watering is all about.
That's right. Amen.
That's what it's all about. God didn't give us that example just to brush it off. Create a methodology to try and manufacture Christians. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Notice. Now, give me this water. What kind of water is Jesus talking about? But the water that I shall give him. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And she says, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Now, what is she talking about? Is she talking about spiritual water or physical water? Well, it is answered by the rest of her answer that I thirst not, neither come hither here to draw. Okay? How is she still thinking? Her mind is locked in to the physical. To the here and now, to the physical. You're a Jew. That's physical. No, he's not. He's God. That's spiritual. You have no means, no bucket, and no rope. What are you talking about? Verse 11. He created all things. Are you going to do what Jacob did and dig me a well? Verse 12. He doesn't need to dig you a well. He can have water shoot out of his hand if he wants to. But she's still locked in to the physical. Locked in. Isn't that the way of the flesh? And the sad thing is, the world doesn't want what we've got because we're almost as locked in as they are.
Yes, sir.
So why bother? Why bother? You know what? Lately, I'm being truthful with you. This is confession here. Don't you do this to me, but I'm doing this to you. This is confession here. Lately, you know what? I'm not satisfied with my Christian life. I'm not satisfied with my Christian life because I'm not satisfied. So if I'm not satisfied with my Christian life and I'm not satisfied, where's my faith and trust? I'm probably at the wrong well. I'm probably at the wrong well. I'm probably spending too much time at the wrong well. And not enough time at the right well. What is the right well? The right well is walking with God. It is fellowship with God. It is worshiping God. It is glorifying God. It is reading His Word. No, let me take that further. Toss those daily Bible readings and study your Bible. Yeah, I said it. Why did I say that? Because the problem is the daily Bible readings become ritual. Routine. I do it every day. This is what I do. I simply read to read, and when it's done, it's done. Therefore, I'm not going to be satisfied with where I am. I'm not going to be satisfied with where I am. And I'm not. And the Lord impressed on me this fact through this study.
Well, if you're not satisfied, you know where to go. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about my walk. You know where to go. You've gotten ahead, or where you've gotten behind. When you're not supposed to be either there, what? Or there. You got to be where God wants you in that walk. And the world ain't going to get me there. The other day I heard a rumor, Matt, that we're going to lose our prescription. What do you think my first response was to that? I'm losing my mind! Because the state of Maryland's going to take my prescription plan. Well, let me tell you something. I'm on meds, so is my wife. And I don't even want to know what I would have to pay if I didn't have it. So immediately, I'm in the panic mode. Trying to mitigate the loss in my mind and heart. And God said, what well are you at, man? You're depending on the state of Maryland? Come on! Because see, the problem is, for so many years of my life, I did. See, that's the old nature. And it wants to go back to, I can do this! When God wants me to say, I can't do this! I trust you! I don't see any halos, so I guess I'm not alone.
The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know why she didn't want to go hither to draw?
She did not want to go hither to draw because every day there was a chance she would meet someone from that town doing the same thing that she did, and they would say to her what she heard every time she ever met somebody. I'm not going to use the world's terminology, but I am going to use a Bible word. Under their breath, harlot. Harlot. The women looking at her and tittering to themselves. You better watch her. Your husband's next. You see, we haven't gotten to that verse yet, but we're there. We're there. How is Christ going to break her from the physical? How's he going to do it? How do we do it? To break someone from the thought of the physical, we must put their mind in a spiritual place. And since the physical is tied up with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we've got to break them out of that and get them to see spiritually. First of all, I believe that seeing spiritually is a gift from God, and I don't understand it. I'm with Spurgeon on this one. I don't understand granting repentance unto life. I don't understand where Jesus, it says in the Bible, and Jesus opened their eyes were already open. Come on. What's he talking about? When he says, and he opened their eyes, what did he open? Their understanding. Their spiritual understanding. And this is another thing I don't understand, but I believe the only people that have that happen to them, I'm not a Calvinist now, the only people that have that happen to them are the ones that want it to happen. They just don't know how. But the ones that are willfully blind, the Pharisees, were their eyes ever opened? No. No. They weren't. They weren't. How's he going to open her eyes?
How do we open a lost person's eyes? Well, you got to talk about the one thing that nobody wants to talk about. As a matter of fact, in religion today, it is the one thing that's not mentioned. All the megachurch preachers, you will not hear them mention the word sin. Joel Osteen even said he makes a point of never saying it. And he's a heretic who is bound for hell. And I'd say it to his face right now in hopes that he would repent. Joyce Myers and the rest of them. Broken cisterns. Wells without water. They're wells. Wells to the power of positive thinking. Can this woman positively think her way out of her predicament? How many years does... This is not a young woman. Five husbands. This is not a young woman. Okay? How many years has she been going to that well? And how does Jesus... Because what he has to do right now is appeal to her conscience. Because the conscience that God has given every single person on the face of this earth knows the difference between right and wrong. They do. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I don't want to come to this well. I don't want to see these people. And if I don't thirst, I won't have to do this. So Jesus puts his finger on why she doesn't want to go to the well. And he pushes it right through her heart. Go. Every word out of Christ's mouth meant something and was extremely important. Go. Wait a minute. Isn't the invitation... What is the invitation in the Bible? Yes. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But before you come to him, you've got to go. Mm-hmm. Go where? You got to go there. You got to go there. And he's going to take her there. He's going to break her from the well scene. He's going to bust her from the well scene real quick. And he's going to put her right where she belongs. Smack in the middle of her sin. 1, 2, 8, 9. One that Sister Sweeney is sitting in is how far back I was at Maranatha that night. Right there, right behind Ike. And you say, well, the invitation was to come. Come down to the altar to get saved. Where did I get saved? You want to know where I got saved? Right here. Gripping this pew with white knuckles. This is where I got saved. Right here. You know why? Because back there, gripping the top of that pew with white knuckles, can't wait to get out of this church, I went. Where? Because I couldn't come until I went.
I had to go into the depths of my soul and deal with my sin. And nobody can get saved apart from that. No one can get saved apart from that. And if you can tell me that a 4 or 5 year old can do that, I'll say, fine, they can get saved. But they can't do that because they don't understand. They don't understand. I did. I was 37 years old, and I had done what Solomon had done. I had tried it all. And I found that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, because you got to push that thing back up onto the truck and go home, because the drag strip closes at 11 o'clock. Or the mountain gets dark, or the airplanes aren't taking the free fall divers up. You got to go home sooner or later. And you know that young man that I was telling you about that finally fell? On the mountain, he was high as a kite, living life, because there is pleasure in sin for a season. Don't tell your kids there's not, because there is. The problem is, it's the fall when the rock breaks off. And he would go home, and because he couldn't have that cliff face 24/7, he was either in exaltation or in absolute depression. And who can live like that? But you know what? That is the life of a natural man. I don't have any more time today. I'm not going any further than the first word he says. Go. He didn't say come. He didn't say anything about heaven. He doesn't say anything about heaven to this woman. Do you want to go to heaven? He didn't say that. The first word out of his mouth when it comes to right down to the nitty gritty is go. Have you ever gone? I mean, have you ever really gone? Have you ever looked at yourself as God looks at you? Because the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every, come on, say it, it's biblical, day. Has it crept in? Do we all think what I'm going to show you a video very soon where a guy says we're all saved? Do we think that? Do we think we can just morph into being a Christian? We cannot. We cannot. We must go before we come. You don't have to wait till I finish this verse next Sunday. You can go there right now. Deal with your sin and take that gift. Because if you've never done that, you're sitting here lost. Life is but a what? It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Tink. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.